the waves moving back at light speed, or even faster in the etheric plane, would cause the object as a whole to move forward, in a manner similar to the way a snail crawls by a process of ripples moving along its foot. Against what does this phenomenon push? It doesn't. It's a pick, up and lay, down process in which the whole substance of the driving mechanism literally flows forward. I imagine the material of which the driving unit is comprised, it may be a bar or the skin of the ship, has a peculiar property which might be called localized heat transfer. If it is heated and cooled rapidly on one end, the hot and cold spots will travel along the bar. The process is not so much molecular as it is a space-time process. Heat, light, etc., are waves or vibrations in the absolute ether, so to speak. That is infinite, so there is nowhere in it. In effect, the waves in the bar stand still. The illusory shape or etheric substance flows along them by the process, in a molecular sense. And the luminous effect is the radiant discharge at the end, where the shape slips off the wave form. This radiant discharge from flying saucers has been seen many times, photographed and caught on motion picture film. A Marine named Ralph Maher caught one of these UFOs in flight at night over Miami, Florida area several years ago. He was actually paid $1 by a Miami TV station, offered as a reward to the first person who showed up with actual pictures of a flying disc. The leading edge of the Maher disc was elliptical. The trailing edge was irregular, flame-shaped. Later, Maher's 16mm film was confiscated by an agent of the Central Intelligence Agency, John Hazen. This confirms the unofficial censorship mentioned earlier by Mr. Lane. When Major Donald Kehoe's NICAP queried the Air Force and the CIA about this, it was denied. See NICAP UFO Investigative Bulletin, Volume 1, Number 4, June 1958, Washington, D.C. The ether ships could be of purely physical origin, they are the product of an advanced race. Propulsion by the use of physical matter is possible, it depends on how one looks at it. According to the occultists, the ethers are simply a large range of physical matter which we are not aware of as substance, and are only partially aware of as force. Of the seven divisions of the physical plane, only three are substantial to our consciousness, the remaining four are etheric matter. If in the three lower divisions some 92 odd elements are found, and an almost limitless combination of these, with resulting properties almost fantastic in their nature, how much more will be found in the remaining four divisions of the physical world referred to as etheric? Crystalline etheric structures. A combination of etheric elements, or say, higher physical substances, may provide a substance jelly, like to our range of consciousness, and rather dense and solid to an etherian. This would transmit unidirectionally through its substance shockwaves generated by alternate applications of heat and cold. I think such a substance would have a crystalline structure, that is, all its atoms would be arranged in an exact geometric pattern with respect to each other. Suppose we had an etheric atom with an octahedral shape, in which a nucleus vibrated along one of the three diagonals. Suppose the normal place of the atom is at B, a shockwave passes at an angle and the particle at B literally jumps to and delivers the energy of its motion to the whole atom in the direction of vector V. LF the whole substance of the shell or just some part of the disc was energized in such a manner, even if the forward kick of each individual atom was in the order of an angstrom unit, the final result might well be in the thousands of miles per hour. That would depend on how fast the shuttle motion could take place. Shockwaves astral? There are also the energy considerations. The shockwave may be astral in origin as respects the disc, and that may be why we can't do it with electronics. That shockwave may impart to the shuttling atom energy of one or more electron volts, translated into atomic motion along the vector. The aggregate of energy in the substance could be several millions of volts. Electromotive force, presenting a thrust of any thousands of pounds in a given direction. One hates to think what would happen if all those octahedral atoms got pointed in different directions. But then the shockwave may be a controlling factor on that. Just the proper angle of approach to the atom must hold before the little atom will shuttle. Not only that, but the frequency of the shockwave must correspond exactly with the length of the shuttle path and the vector speed of the octahedral atom. Arithmetically, the velocity v of the whole atom equals the quotient of the mass of the shuttle atom x, its velocity divided by the mass of the whole atom, v equals mv slash m. In fact, the nucleus or shuttle atom as we call it has the greater portion of the mass of the whole, the speed of the whole would become greater than that of the nucleus and the latter would be without further effect. Another reason why physical arrangements do not respond in that way to such stimulation. The inner particle of this etheric atom must consist of less mass than the outer shell or structure. This idea is inverse to the concept that the nucleus of the atom has most of the mass. The perceptibility of matter, to my way of thinking, depends upon the arrangement of its basic particles in any given atom. Atoms with heavy shells and light nuclei may be imperceptible physical senses but quite visible to the clairvoyant faculty. There is no reason to think that a disk on becoming visible to us undergoes any basic atomic changes. We keep laboring under the delusion that the etheric is another plane. The visibility of the disks may be due to the adhering of physical debris, dust and the like to the surface of its shell, drawn in by the fields created in its propulsion mechanism. They may have means of blowing the stuff off, hence their appearance and disappearance, trails of smoke, fire, etc. However, when one of them cracks up, we are confronted with a quite different condition. It's hard to tell what the release of nuclear energies would do to the substance of the ship in a case of lost control. An atom with a light nucleus may be a mighty hungry fellow when its mode of control is gone, and might well get itself a heavy nucleus and absorb or release a great deal of energy in doing so, enough to do the occupants a golden brown. Now, about that something to push on idea. Not necessarily. Rockets move in a vacuum by reaction of the inertia of one mass with another. The shuttle atom does something of the same thing. There, astral, shockwave coming at right angles presents no reaction, it being on a higher level simply energizes the one particle in the whole atom, that moves forward along its path of least resistance until it again meets resistance at the opposite apex. There the energy of its momentum is delivered to the whole atom and it falls back into its place again. Since the kick comes from the shockwave external to itself, and which affects only the shuttle atom, there is no kick back to the whole atom. The shockwaves are transmitted on the absolute ether, as are physical light and beat. And since any and all atomic structures are floating in that same ether, waves are necessary to make the atoms go. Waves generated in an extraneous source, maybe artificial or cosmic or planetary. Anyhow, those ether ships do fly fast. Over 9,000 miles per hour. In line with Hilliard's final remark above, here's a summary of a UFO sighting by a technical observatory, from page 193 of Kehoe's book, Flying Saucers from Outer Space. I just got a report from an ionosphere observatory. I shoved him the name, which the officials had asked me not to publish. They track the lower ionosphere layers by radar, and it records any changes on a chart. One night, in December 1952, they were tracking the E layer, over 50 miles up, and suddenly the radar picked up a terrific disturbance. The needle jumped all over the chart. Some experts analyzed the tracing later and they said that a solid object, flying a straight course, had passed over the station at between 9 and 10,000 miles an hour. The chart showed the ionosphere in a violent commotion, apparently upset by some powerful electrical force. It didn't get back to normal for over 30 minutes and any air turbulence from the thing's passage should have died down long before that. 5. Etheria, home plane of the ether ships. Comments of Associate Edward S. Schultz, Buffalo, New York. His foreword states that his concepts are arrived at by a correlation of orthodox science, metaphysics, and his own method of equimatic analysis, yet the ramifications of the subject are so complex and unprecedented that only trail blazing generalizations are possible in a short article. Associate Schultz has held a number of highly responsible positions in organized research, and is author of the BSRA booklet, Provisional Atomic Research. Now out of print, The Ether Plane, there is ample evidence and authoritative opinion that this is a septenary universe, that is, manifesting 1n numerical divisions and relationships of 7. This thread of evidence runs through science, religion, occultism, art, metaphysics, and philosophy. There is also evidence that above and beyond the solid, liquid and gaseous states of matter there are 4 states of etheric matter, each differing from the states above and below it. This has been recognized for centuries in the teachings of certain schools and religions. We have a limited awareness of the first 3 states, but are oblivious of the other 4 except under highly specialized conditions. There is, it is true, some evidence of etheric phenomena becoming recognized by physics research, but on the whole they are, to us, a ghostly realm which does not respond to ordinary laboratory methods and instrumentation. Yet it must be self-evident that there is plenty of room for separate planes or worlds of physical manifestation in the 4 etheric states just out of our ordinary reach. It is these regions, coexistent with and interpenetrating our own plane, that are referred to under the term Etheria. Etherian science. Not only must the etheric plane be postulated, but the abundant and irrefutable observation of thousands of persons, flying saucers and other related phenomena gives evidence of the reality of the etheric worlds, and that it is inhabited by beings at least several centuries ahead of us in science, and probably in other respects as well. Their flying craft are immeasurably ahead of ours. They make the transition from one plane to another, are independent of the air for support or propulsion, are highly maneuverable and can travel at speed up to thousands of miles per hour. There is reason to suppose that they can and do travel to other planets of our solar system, and it is highly probable that if they are attacked or sufficiently provoked they can retaliate in a manner which would churn the newspapers and radio station of the world into a frenzy of mystification and fear. Although these craft have been with us a longer time than most of us suspect, our own science and technology, military and otherwise, have only recently entered into an era in which some of our developments, radar, bombs, etc., are beginning to manifest to the Etherians, in degrees ranging from a nuisance to a menace. The science and engineering of Etheria is doubtless subject to continued progress and improvement, but we may conjecture, at a faster rate than ours, since they must long ago have evolved out of such nonsense as technological secrecy and security, and have done away with national boundaries and other artificial barriers. Some of their craft are undoubtedly experimental. It is practically certain that their interest in our plane has been increased by the explosion of atomic bombs. An obvious question is, why don't they try to make contact with us in some way? The answer probably is, that they have been and are in contact with us to a degree which serves all their present objectives. All they need to know is probably picked up by them through various communication devices, plus certain advanced means of psychic and telepathic perception. The torrents of material constantly being poured out by our radio stations on a world scale are of course open to them, and this alone would enable them to evaluate our culture and civilization. Some aspects of Etheria, we must not harbor the illusion that the 4 etheric states are ghostly and unsubstantial. They are a good deal more substantial than our so-called dense world, and it is we who are the ghosts of the etheric realm. The distance between the atoms of our bodies and of all objects are as great in proportion as the distances between the stars. And I have reason to postulate, on evidence which has come to my attention, that the force of gravity in Etheria may be twice that of our plane. Thus the navigators of Etherian craft, in our atmosphere and sphere of gravitation, would experience a freedom of movement which they must learn to guard against. There is reason to suppose, also, that the lowest of the etheric states, just beyond our gases, serves as a zone of demarcation between the planes, and that there is some overlap of phenomena of the etheric and of our world of matter, in this zone. Etheric matter will interpenetrate all things of our world, etheric doubles. Our sense of touch, pain, and temperature difference manifests through one or more the etheric counterparts of our bodies. Drugs and anesthetics affect us through the same means. By means of hypnotism, the functional interaction of the etheric double can be modified or even suspended. It will almost certainly be discovered that many diseases originate in this etheric counterpart of the human organism. It will be accepted eventually that certain laws of electronics function via one or more of the etheric states of matter. Certain nuclear and or subnuclear physical particles or nucleons, it will be found, pass into and out of one or more of the etheric states of matter. And it is this fact which adds so much to the perplexities and bewilderment of our orthodox atomic scientists and mathematical long-hairs. They have lately in their researches entered into a paradoxical Alice in Wonderland realm of physics. This makes little or no sense within the framework of their scientific logic. They note how nuclear particles seem to pop out of nowhere and vanish without a trace, in an infinitesimal fraction of a second sometimes. The question as to whether an electron is a wave or a particle still defies orthodox physical logic and sense. The state of being and structure of an electron has been deduced to composite blur, and neither its velocity nor its location can be known simultaneously with the other factor. It is not yet known why the protons within an atomic nucleus, each with a positive charge, can snuggle together for billions of years in some elements, without being blown apart by mutual repulsion. Obviously, orthodox physics is fast approaching an impasse which will require that the laws of nature be interpreted in terms of all seven of the physical states of matter. After this is recognized, we shall begin, very slowly, to catch up with Etheria, home plane of the flying discs. Theories of ethercraft propulsion. The speed, the control, and the acceleration powers of these craft bring up questions which are not merely academic but intensely practical. If we knew but part of the secret, it would advance our knowledge by decades, if not by centuries. For the present, we have the following avenues of investigation. A. The reported appearance and behavior of all varieties of ethercraft so far observed. B. The above, analyzed in terms of orthodox science and engineering. C. The above, analyzed in terms of borderland sciences and including metaphysics, constituting a highly specialized and advanced source of scientific information on this and associated phenomena, available to the directors and associates of borderland sciences, some of this data being at least a century ahead of contemporary science. D. The theorems, postulates and formulas of equimatic analysis, at present the exclusive research tool of this writer. E. It is hoped that to the foregoing will be added in due time an examination at close quarters of one or more of the ether craft, in case one or more of them is grounded for any reason, an event which may have already occurred. One major difficulty in solving the secret of the drive is the fact that these craft almost certainly have more than one kind of propulsion scion, and that these are interchanged in accord with conditions or the medium in which they operate, in and out of our atmosphere. Some may be propelled in accord with certain objectives or experimental requirements. These are generalizations which are bound to be narrowed down with the passage of time. In working toward this worthy and difficult objective, BSR associate John A. Hilliard recently blazed a brilliant trail of analysis in the presentation of his high frequency heat flow principle, outlined in another part of this booklet. Materialization and dematerialization, mat and dematter. This writing, and in accord with Etherian physics, the following generalized theory of possible propulsion is advanced. When Etheria solved the problem of transition from their plane to ours via their ether craft, that is, materialization into our world, the principle may have solved the problem of propulsion at the same time. The laws of quantum mechanics apply to all planes of manifestation. It is plain that materialization and dematerialization would proceed in terms of quanta. That is, in exceedingly small or fine jerks, the process could be made to alternate at will, and the quanta involved would alternate at very high frequency. If, after complete materialization, the fore and aft ends of the craft were caused to mat and demat alternately at high frequency, a propulsive effect would come into play. Directional flow. Let us suppose that the craft as a whole stays materialized, but that only a relatively thin layer of the fore and aft parts undergo the mat and demat cycle. As long as this cycle were maintained in phase, no propelling effect would come into play. A balanced, in phase cycle of mat and demat. However, as soon as the disc pilot put the cycle out of phase in favor of either the fore or aft sections, one part of the craft would be materializing as fast as the other would be dematerializing, and the sum total effect would be a flow in any desired direction, although, since this flow would be in terms of quanta, involving but some 11 surface sections of the craft, it would be in a sense analogous to the mode of travel of a caterpillar or in quim. An out-of-phase cycle. Causing flow in one direction. An out-of-phase cycle, causing flow in the other direction. There is still another sense in which ethercraft can be envisioned as flowing forward. At supersonic speed, which is but a crawl compared to disk speeds, our aircraft encounter so-called shock waves, sometimes referred to as a burble. This tends to shake, shock or disintegrate the aircraft. Without a doubt, the design and operation of the ethercraft is such that, at supersonic speeds and much higher, the craft flows forward in phase with the shockwave or burble, and the wave helps to propel the craft forward. Incidentally, the real secret of the so-called shockwave involves a yet, to be discovered principle of physics so unprecedented that our high-speed plane designers and operators of supersonic tunnels will be reluctant to believe their own operations or formulas. However, the equimatically arrived at theory concerning this phenomenon would not be in keeping with the subject matter of this article. Ethercraft propelling power source. It is certain there are no chemical processes involved, and that the source of power is based on an atomic energy or sub-nuclear process. They have, undoubtedly and long ago, discovered the secret of releasing and using atomic energy without the by-product of radiation and radiation hazards, which our orthodox physicists appear to take for granted as being forever inevitable. Even now there are ample clues to the release and use of atomic power without such hazards, but there is an officially decreed blindness on this and other matters of similar or greater interest. It is entirely possible and probable that the use of atomic energy by ethercraft involves the transition of such energy into other, intermediate forms, that is, inter-related functions of heat, electricity and magnetism, the nature of which is but dimly suspected in our physics. However great our ignorance of Aetherian physics, it is entirely possible that certain isolated laboratory discoveries duplicate or foreshadow principles well known to the Aetherians. As one of such glimmers of progress, let us take note of an item appearing in Science Newsletters November 19, 1949, of which the full text follows: New electronic torch can melt tungsten, heat enough to melt tungsten, which melts at 3370 degrees centigrade and has the highest melting point of all metals, is obtained with a new electronic torch revealed by the General Electric Research Laboratory. It utilizes extremely high frequency radio waves with such gases as nitrogen or carbon monoxide fed at the discharge arc. As described by Dr. J.D. Cobine, GE scientist, the heart of the torch is a tube known as a magnetron, which produces radio waves of 1 million cycles per second. Leading from the tube is an antenna made of short metal cylinders, one within the other. A high frequency arc can be made to form on one end of the antenna. If certain gases are fed past the arc, the electronic torch results. It resembles a jet of flame about 9 inches long. The high temperatures produced on any surface placed in the jet are caused almost entirely by the heat generated by atoms joining together to form molecules. According to Dr. Cobine, the molecules of certain gases are broken up into atoms by the high frequency arc. These atoms join together again on surfaces placed in the torch. The jet itself is not necessarily hot. An interpretation from occult science. Let me ask the reader at this point to compare the foregoing development with statements made in an interview with a member of the inner circle of trance medium Mark Probert, summarized below and dealing with the problem of the disk propulsion, I want to say that traction, or what would be termed the pressure from the outer to the inner, or as with wheels on a road, is created by the magnetic field they throw off, that is thrown off by the bodies of these disks. This is true of all of them, including the form that you call the fire ball. Yes, they operate outside the atmosphere, but the form of propulsion there is not different, only lower and higher rates of the same. The propulsion is secured according to the condition they enter into. Atoms are not single atoms, it is better to say a field or a pattern or a wave, or surface behaviorism. There is always surface. Going into the higher ethers there is a denser field, coming into the Earth atmosphere the density grows less. The radiation out of which these craft are built is brought about by mind activity, it is based on the order of phenomena called teleportation. This process always brings about extreme heat or cold. In bringing these manifestations into being, heat is first used. After the body takes on the density of the Earth plane, it starts throwing off heat radiations, heat energy, at a terrific rate of speed. This heat strikes at the hydrogen and oxygen atoms around the object, creating what may be called a form of combustion. This creates a magnetic field around the object, attraction for it, a road for it. Yes, in reply to a question, the thrust might be called external in a way, because the heated object acts as both a magnet and a repeller. It is extremely difficult to put into words. Yes, there is a heat wave which passes over the entire exterior of the disk. Have you noticed the glow around some of these objects? Some of them reach what you call white heat. This is heated and cooled at an extremely high rate of speed. We need the quantum theory to explain this. No. The heat wave does not affect the interior of the disk nor the people in it. Yes, you can call it a pick, up and lay, down motion, with the expansion and contraction at quantum rates. Yes, I think such a method of propulsion could be used here, but the cost would be too high, to produce that kind of heat and that kind of material, which would 1D have to be exceedingly tenuous. No, I do not know of any such substance, on Earth. At present. Yes, it would be a synthetic material. I think the most profitable line of inquiry for physicists would be to try to understand what the etheric is, apart from the gases. That would be the first approach, to try to understand this unseeable space around you. Also, to understand molecular motion. Yes, molecular motion applies to the ether. No, I do not know of any such thing as a substance which is not particulate, which is homogeneous. Midlane's footnote to the above quote from the Propert Seances, the speaker is an Oriental named Rama, Ka, Lo. The quoted passages are at least an interesting example of deep, trance communication by highly intelligent entities. We hope that it will be read on its own merits and without prejudice for or against. Communications of this quality have been received and studied for 4 years past by the BSR associates, who wish here to make acknowledgement of the long, continued, and unpaid, services of Mark Probert, undoubtedly one of the most remarkable, and non-professional, trance mediums in the world. We print this communication and note, since it is the opinion of the BSR investigators that helpful and promising data from any source should never be rejected a priori through prejudice and ignorance, as is too often the case under the present attitude of many workers in the sciences. Lack of space prevents this writer, Edward Schultz, from making a detailed comparison of the quoted paragraphs with the development described in Science Newsletter. We may, however, particularly note the high degree of heat, the high frequencies, the fact that extremely high radio waves are really electromagnetic in nature, and the reference to hydrogen and oxygen on the one hand, and nitrogen and carbon oxide in the general electric development. Note the reference to atomic behavior in both cases, also to surface phenomena. Note especially 11y that in the case of the ether craft, it is said that the heat does not affect the interior of the same, and that the jet in the GE development is not necessarily hot, though it creates heat sufficient to melt tungsten, which is the highest melting point of all metals. The grave duties of governments. For the governments of the world, including our own, The ethercraft phenomena offer no choice but to assume certain grave duties and responsibilities in regard to the enlightenment and protection of their citizens, that is, not to obscure facts, evidence, statistics, etc., involved, by infantile explanation, evasions, double talk and rank incompetence so far as matters of this kind are concerned.